Welcome to the November edition of the Delta County Commissioner's Report. I'm Felix Belmont. Joining me is Mr. Eric Gould, News Director for KVNF, and we will jointly interview our guest, Mr. Don Supas, Delta County Commissioner for District 2. Don, thank you for taking the time to come in and talk with us today.
Thank you, Felix. It's always a pleasure to be here.
I'll start off with a question here. Last week, the BLM announced that they were deferring 58 parcels, including 74,516 acres in the North Fork, from the December 13th oil and gas sales. Many citizens have been concerned about oil and gas leasing on public lands in this area. What is the significance of this cancellation? Overall, is this a blow to our local economy, or in reality, is it good for the area?
You know, overall, it's a blow to the economy. The oil and gas revenue that the county sees, they're not huge, but they are still good-paying jobs. There are still royalties that come into the county. There are the royalties to the property owners that own those mineral rights. And so it is a blow to the county. You know, we do a great job of policing and monitoring the oil and gas development that does take place in this county. And, you know, if it weren't for, you know, a lot of the groups out here really, you know, raising heck about it, you wouldn't even know there was oil and gas and development going on in Delta County, because they really do a good job at it. They're very clean. They're very concise. And they're very mindful of the environment when they go through the process. So, you know, I think we'll see these leases come back. You know, hopefully after we get the RMP taken care of through the BLM, they will be ready to roll this thing back out. But I was sad to not see it take place.
But you do think it will come back after a bit?
I do believe it will, yes.
Yeah. Gunnison Energy has proposed conducting a 3D seismic operation on some 28,000 acres of public lands north of Paonia to determine if there is oil and gas potential there. You commissioners met with people from Gunnison Energy on, I believe it was October 23rd, in a work session on this. What exactly is this all about? And would it have any effects on Delta County, good or bad?
You know, seismic exploration, seismic development is something a lot of oil and gas companies do just to make sure that they're...
And what is it exactly?
Well, basically what they're doing is they're mapping the underground of where there's a proposed site. So they pick an area and they have a bunch of holes that they put small dynamite charges in, and then they have frequency sensors that sense what happens with that charge, with that bounce, that vibration. And they are able to get a determination of what's going on underground, the fractures, the fissures, how the lay of the land works underneath, stuff we don't see from above. Honestly, it's probably one of the most environmental ways to pursue drilling, because you know what's there and you're not just going out poking a bunch of holes in exploration drilling. The problem Gunnison Energy had here is they didn't realize that they had to go through the specific development code of Delta County to pursue this. A lot of counties do not require it for seismic testing.
And
Delta County does. So, you know, they are trying to go back through that process. Everything got delayed a little bit because they have to go through the public hearing process and the notification process here in the county. So that got delayed a little bit, and we'll have to see what happens when we review that, I believe, next week at a meeting. So,
Thank you, Felix, and thank you for being here, Commissioner. Let's just do a couple of quick follow-ups to those questions. First off, with the leases, it's just important to remember they were not canceled, they were deferred.
Correct.
So it is entirely possible that once the BLM has conducted the resource management plan for the Uncompahgre area over there, the leases could well be back for sale in the future.
Yes, that is correct. Yes, they were deferred.
And then regarding the seismic mapping, as far as my research into it, Gunnison Energy was totally within their rights to do the surveying. as they were doing up there, putting up the flags and spray painting rocks. What they couldn't do without submitting the plan to the county was the actual drilling and detonating of the mine, of the shafts. Is that right?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. And then also I learned that they can only, because of the weather and because of hunting calendar and various other reasons, they can only do this mapping project, the actual detonations, in August or October. And October has passed, so can we expect that this will be back and they actually will be doing the seismic operations in August?
You know, that's yet to be determined. I can't make that decision for them. I know that is one of the things they were considering. But yeah, we'll have to wait and see what they decide to do on that.
And I know the Forest Service was going to conduct a survey over there before Gunnison Energy moved in, and it kind of surprised them. Is that survey by the Forest Service going to get conducted as your discussions go on with Gunnison Energy?
I can't speak to what the Forest Service is going to do. I know the Gunnison Energy was going through the permitting process with the Forest Service, and I can't honestly speak to what the Forest Service is going to do on that.
Okay. At the October County Commissioner meeting, the commissioner signed a resolution giving the go-ahead to apply for a Great Outdoors Colorado grant, COGO, for a regional trail through the Dominguez-Escalante National Conservation Area. Commissioners said they would commit up to $125,000 in matching funds toward the project, which includes a planning phase and engineering feasibility studies. I just wonder if you might tell us about this project and why the commissioners decided to commit those matching funds.
Part of those matching funds, we're actually hoping come from another grant also. We're hoping to combine a couple of grants, leverage a little money, put in some county money, and look at this process. You know, we've talked about a trail basically from Whitewater to Delta for quite some time. You know, every time I drive through Glenwood Canyon, I'm amazed at the amount of people that are up and down that trail along that river. And it is a huge tourist destination for people to come and utilize that trail. I personally have done it with my wife. We've rented bicycles and ridden the trail down the canyon. I'm not near good enough shape to ride up the canyon, but we go down the canyon. I think we're really missing an opportunity here, not only for locals to enjoy that area, but, you know, have it a tourist destination for us here in Western Colorado for people to utilize that trail. And we're talking, you know, a multiple-use trail that could be used by a lot of people here. And there's chances that we can tie this onto other trails throughout the system. You know, Montrose has talked about a trail to Delta, trails to Ouray. If we could combine all these trails together, it could be absolutely huge for the whole region, not just Delta County.
And a follow-up to that is about the Delta County Trails Master Plan. I know that there was talk about that, and if I'm right, in the past year or so, the county did complete a master plan for the trails. Is that right?
Yes, we did. We completed the master trails plan, and it is includes part of that Dominguez-Escalante NCA trail area, their triangle, they call it, and hoping to tie in some of those trails down there with a larger trail that would be kind of a mainline trail up and down the canyon.
And so really this Dominguez-Escalante project just fits in nicely with the Trails Master Plan as being the first one that's part of this longer-term idea about setting up a countywide trail.
It is. It's a piece of the puzzle. And this is a first step right now. It is going to take a lot of work to come up with a good location that fits BLM requirements, that gets people from point A to point B without doing, you know, harm to the environment, without stepping on artifacts, with watching endangered species. There's a whole lot of things that have to be taken in consideration when you move forward with a project like this. But there is people on the BLM that really want to see this happen, and they're working with us to make it happen, and I think it'll be good.
How big overall, I mean, just in generalities, how big overall is tourism from outside people with respect to Delta County? Is it an important factor for us?
You know, Delta County, one of the reasons I personally think Delta County has been doing well economically, you know, we've seen slow, steady growth, things are improving, and part of that is because we've diversified our economy. We're not just an ag economy, we're not just oil and gas, we're not just farming. We are a little bit of everything, and tourism plays a part of that. We are still, ag is still number one in Delta County. It is still the largest part of our economy, but there's a lot of other aspects to our economy, and I think that's what makes us stronger. And I don't think anybody will disagree that a diverse economy is a strong economy. Sure.
And tourism is a part of that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I was just curious.
I don't know the percentage numbers. Those are kind of tough to come up with.
No, I didn't ask you for specific numbers. It was a generalized question, but I was curious. Yeah.
I will tell you, just based on our lodging tax numbers, we are seeing a steady increase in tourism dollars in Delta County.
Well, that would be one indicator, obviously.
Yes.
Okay, let's stick with the economy a little bit. This question is about the area's current real estate market. Retirees comprise the largest buying segment, and a substantial number of North Fork buyers in particular are paying for houses with cash. This means that there are people with money who are not really looking for work moving into the area. And I just wondered, what are your thoughts about what is good about having an increase in this demographic moving here? And on the other hand, what do you think are some red flags?
You know, the good thing about the demographic we're seeing move in is they have an expendable income. They are willing to come here. They're willing to spend money. The possible downfall that we have with that is on the service sector side of it. You know, these folks moving here, they're wanting more services. They're wanting more things from the government that the government is not used to providing because we haven't had that number of demographic of the older citizens mm-hmm. here. So it's got its ups and downs. You know, we look at the census for the school district. You know, we look at where their populations are, where they've lost students, gained students. And it kind of tells you what's going on with the county as far as families moving in versus retired, which areas they're moving into. It's, you know, there's one thing that you don't do, and that's control growth. You do your best to manage it, but you don't control it. And we happen to be that, you know, that spot in Western Colorado that was the hidden gem, and now it's found. And we've got a lot of people moving in here. We've got a lot of houses that are, you know, suitable for people retiring off the Front Range that want to make a little more bang for their buck with their retirement income. They can sell a house over there and get a lot of money over there and then come over here and buy something that's, you know, comparable for a lot less. So we're just seeing that shift. And you look at the Front Range real estate market, they've kind of plateaued. And part of that's probably just, they've reached their limit of capacity in some degree, and also interest rates and a few changes in the economy probably has something to do with that. And we're seeing that shift over here, and I think we'll continue to see it for a while.
If you just joined us, this is the Delta County Commissioner's Report for November, and we're pleased to have as our guest Delta County 2nd District Commissioner Don Supis. And Eric, you have some very pertinent questions, I'm sure.
Sure. Just a quick follow-up about the people moving out here. And like we've talked about, they do tend to have some money that they spend, discretionary money. And that's creating a lot of jobs in the service industry, as you said. Do you think that might have some potential to be a problem in the future if the quickest growing sector are these service industry jobs that don't really pay, you know, as much as other jobs that could pay?
It's just like anything else in the economy. If there's a need, the money will find its way there. And if you need those service type workers, they will be getting paid more to show up and do the job. That's part of the economy. That's part of the free market system.
This next question is kind of detailed and has to do with the recent budget discussions that the county has had. In the recent budget discussions, high on the list of requests from most department heads were staff raises, above the 2% cost of living raise proposed by county administration. Many also requested additional staff, citing growing workloads and long-term understaffing. According to a recent annual salary survey, most of Delta County's top employees are earning above the median range of comparable salaries for a county whose annual budget is less than $50 million. In Delta County, that employs about 230 people, the top 11 positions comprise 10% of the personnel budget. So I guess in plain language, what we're saying is it appears from these budget discussions that the staff is understaffed and underpaid while administrators are overpaid. And at the same time, we have county revenue, which has seen good growth over the past 3 years from increased property tax, county fees, and sales tax, coupled with high county reserve funds. We've talked on this show before about how much the Delta County has in reserve. Employees of Delta County are looking to recover from a decade of little to no wage increases and hiring cutbacks. So why are some county staff, commissioners included, getting raises that put them above the median range, and other departments are not getting raises and say they are short-staffed? What can be done about that?
Well, you are trying, Eric, I must say. Let's see what the commissioners are.
Like I said, that was a long question, and there's a lot in there. And this is just a discussion. I'm not making any accusations or anything like that.
Well, the bulk of that question obviously came from a Delta County Citizen Report. I spoke with staff about that, and I do believe some of those numbers are not correct as far as comparing our county salaries with other counties. So I would be real careful in making those generalizations on those county numbers. You know, we did have a lot of requests for staff this year. The things that concern me with adding staff is that is an expenditure that is not a one-year expenditure. That is something that sticks around forever, whether it's in good economy or bad economy, good revenue, bad revenue. That's something that does not go away.
I see that,
We are very fortunate to have the great staff we do in Delta County, and we ask a heck of a lot out of our folks. In a county our size, we operate with far less administration than most any other county of equivalent size. So we ask a lot of our people, and they perform well. As far as pay for elected officials, that is not something that is decided by the county. That is something that is decided by the state legislature, and that was voted by the state legislature.
The legislature sets the salaries for...
Yes, the legislature sets the salaries. Four years ago, the county commissioners voted on which level that they were going to put Delta County at. Those numbers were set by the legislature, and that's why you're seeing a change in the pay for the incoming county commissioner versus what Commissioner Rober and I receive, and that's because it's mandated by the state.
And those sets tend to run for a fairly long time. More than 1 year or something? Or they review it every year? How does it work?
They have an equation now that's supposed to adjust them based upon inflation and other factors. I don't know the full equation and how that works, but that's why
just
you're seeing...
Just in general.
Right, that's why you're seeing a difference in the pay now from what it was. So
you're saying, just to be clear about how the process works, the Delta County commissioners do not have the authority to hold a vote and give themselves a raise?
I can't legally speak to that. I don't know that we can, but I know that the state mandated the pay that the commissioners do receive, along with the other elected officials.
And I'm just trying to think about this for discussion purposes, and I'm thinking about my experiences as a trustee when I was here on the Board of Trustees in Paonia for 4 years. And that board was able to, if they wanted, and we had discussions of it before, to give ourselves raises. We did not do so. But there has been more discussion about doing that again.
But that's a municipality.
Okay, so counties cannot do that.
A county is a division of the state as set by the state constitution.
Okay.
Municipalities are not a division of the state. They operate under a whole separate section of the state statutes.
Okay. Well, just keeping up with that comparison, even though they're not the same municipality and county, when I was with the town of Paonia, we had on our staff, particularly in the police department, this constant turnover because we would train a guy, teach him the job, he'd learn it, he'd get good at it, and then because we can't pay him very much, he'll move on. And so that happens all the time. And I wonder, on a county level, is it like that as well for some of these staffs? Like, they hire people, they teach them how to do the job, they get good at it, and then they can't pay them. So they move on to different counties. Is that
absolutely?
Doesn't that put pressure on you to almost make you raise salaries? Or,
well, it seems like that would be the case. Yeah, if you have a staff and they do such a great job, as you say, you're going to want to keep them. And the way that you keep them is you pay them.
Honestly, this is one of our hugest problems in the human services portion of the county.
I can see that.
One of our largest employment sections is the human services, and we are constantly losing great human service folks to Montrose and Mesa County because they do pay so much more than we can afford here in Delta County.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's why we're looking at these cost of living increases. That's why the county has taken up the slack in the increases in the health care, which we've seen some tremendous increases in the last 4 to 5 years. And the county has continued to pay those increases and not ask the staff to pay those in an effort to try to keep those great employees we have.
So where we're at right now in terms of moving forward with the budget, there is the 2% cost of living raise in the budget right now. So that is going to happen?
Well, it's far too early to tell right now. We're still, the budget will not be finalized until first to the middle of December. We still have a number of meetings to go to try to find a way. Right now, we're still trying to find some ways to cut, make sure that we fall within range of where we need to be and still maintain our 25% fund reserve.
Speaking of the budget, just out of curiosity.
Yes.
How good were you guys a year ago in forecasting and putting up and making a budget? How is the county coming out toward the end of the year? Vis-a-vis the budget and so on.
You know, any time you make a budget, the law, the rule of thumb is you budget revenues low, expenditures high. So at the end of the year, you're always hoping that your revenues were higher and that your expenditures were lower.
Because you look good.
Well, and that it really covers your tail in case something goes wrong. And for the most part, I think we've fallen in that line. Our revenues are higher than we projected. Our expenditures are lower than we projected. But that's standard budgeting procedure for just about everybody that budgets. Otherwise, you know, you figure it too tight, something will come back and bite you. And we've been very fortunate that we watch the numbers very close. We watch our budget numbers as close as we can, and we've done fairly well.
I just asked the question out of curiosity because when I worked, I had to do a budget every year, and I had the same problem as everybody else does. And it was always a question at the end, how close were you?
Some years are better than others. This year we've been very fortunate. The sales tax revenue has definitely risen higher than we expected. With our mill levy money that we receive, That one's a little bit being hit a little harder just because of the residential assessment rate where it's at, and that's looking like it's going to get worse in the future. So,
finally, we are going to get an ambulance district, I assume. And from everything I've read and from my own opinion on it, that's good. How do you all feel about it? I mean, do you think it's working out? Will it work out good?
With the changes that we've seen in the last, especially 10 to 12 years in the medical world, I think it was a necessary evil. I commend the folks that operated the ambulance for so many years up here. They did a great job. But I do believe it finally reached a point where they didn't have a choice.
They were on a shoestring,
right.
I'm sure.
The revenues were getting depleted to the point that they really didn't have a choice. I think it's going to be better for the entire citizenry of the North Fork that they've done that.
Felix mentioned the North Fork ambulance. We also had the North Fork Pool and Park a ballot issue that passed. That raised the mill levy. The ambulance raised the mill levy. And the water district in Crawford also passed and surprisingly raised the mill levy down there. Delta County voters have always been so hesitant to raise the mill levy, and yet here in this case, in one election, they've done it 3 times. I just wondered, why do you think that might be the case?
I really think people are getting more and more educated about where they're at with the residential assessment rate, and they're seeing it on their tax bill. They're seeing that even though the valuation of their property has gone up, their taxes have gone down property-wise because of that residential assessment rate. And, you know, in a smaller community, when you got a lot of different people serving on different boards, they talk to each other. You know, they know, they get the word out that, hey, we're hurting. You know, these cemetery districts, ambulance districts, library districts, they're all hurting because of this loss of revenue due to the residential assessment rate. So the The Gallagher discussion continues at the state legislature level. You know, we're promised. They just kind of kicked the can down the road this last time. I'm really hoping that they're ready to come out with some solutions. The interim committee is still working on it, but you know, we've got to come up with something because there's a lot of services throughout the state that are suffering and are going to suffer more if the rate hits where it's projected to hit next year.
But if you want these services, you got to pay for them. I mean, they cost money. There's no
nothing's free. Right. Nothing's free.
I mean, that's sort of a stupid truism, I suppose, but it is a fact.
And you know, the other factor is, especially here in Delta County, we've got a lot of boards that operate very conservatively. They're very mindful of the taxpayer. And they do everything they can to pinch every penny they get and make sure it's spent properly, make sure it's not wasted. Yeah. And I think the Delta County voter, they prove that they appreciate that mentality of these board members and that they, I think that the education process will continue.
And sticking with the election, Mike Lane is the new commissioner. You're going to be working with him starting in January. And I wondered for Felix and maybe for you as well, Mr. Supas, can either of you remember when Delta County elected a Democrat?
I believe the last elected Democrat in Delta County was the Sheriff Bill Blair.
And that was
before
that
my
was,
time.
That was, he was elected. He Fred McKee was elected after when Bill resigned, I believe. So
not on the commission. No Delta County commissioners that you can recall?
We, the last one,
District 2, I believe,
and correct me if I'm wrong, Donna Ferganchik was elected Democrat. Yeah. Then.
So it has happened.
You know, these things shift, you know, and I'll be the first one to tell anybody that a Democrat from 30 years ago does not necessarily equate to a Democrat now, nor a Republican from 30 years ago to a Republican now. Party philosophies change, party personalities change, and you'll continue to see that change, I think.
You know, I've always felt over the years, at the county level, what the heck difference does it make about the party? It's the person. And we know people so intimately in this county that I think we tend to look at the person and evaluate who is running more than the party. I really do. And maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think party means that much. Now, I may be totally wrong, but that's been my feeling all along.
Yeah, I think that's a fair thing to say. You know, when I look at the election and this question I just asked, even it's seen through the lenses of the national election and everything going on there, where party is the only thing that matters.
Yeah, that's the national and the state. That's a different thing. But at the county level,
come on. At the county level, it's different.
What difference does it make? We look at how qualified is the person that's running, and what's their personality like, and do we think they can do the job? And we occasionally get one or two good old boys kind of thing, but I think this county overall has made out very well for the time I've been here.
You know, the other part of that too is, you know, we get bombarded every night by the national media, and the national media, they play partisan politics more than any group in this country. And so it's a part of the product of what's going on that it gets forced on its way down into the local level also.
Eric, do you have one more question, or is that about it for you?
I would just like to follow up just real quickly. I wonder if you might, you can't speak for the whole commission, but maybe just from observing what you've seen in the meetings and everything, what is the commission's attitude toward the media? Do you think the media here in Delta County is the enemy of the people?
I don't believe that Delta County, I don't believe the media in Delta County is the enemy of the people. I will tell you that, you know, you look at whether it be the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel, open up the editorial page, it's not too far to tell where that paper leans politically. Look at the top fold of that paper every day, you can tell where that paper leans politically. But I think people have reached the point that they understand that. They understand that the Daily Sentinel is a liberal media source. They understand, you know, this one's going to lean conservative, this one's going to lean liberal. And I think people have just come to the fact that that's part of life. That's the way it is. You know, a free press is one of those rights given to us by the Constitution, and I firmly believe in that right. And I think that the media also has the job to report the truth and make sure that they're doing their job. And I think we've gotten to the point, especially in the national media circuit, that it's just editorializing. You know, nobody reports facts. All it is what they can sensationalize and make drama out of versus reporting facts of the things that people really need to know. So I think the media could change that outlook themselves. But I also know that they look at ratings and they're trying to make sure they got viewership, not necessarily that they're putting out the right information.
Gentlemen, unfortunately, that's all the time we have today. This has been the Delta County Commissioner's Report, and we thank Commissioner Don Supius for his very astute opinions and answers to the questions. And we, incidentally, will not have a Commissioner's Report in December. We're going to take off, but we'll start up again in January. And thanks to both of you. And for KVNF, I'm Felix Belmont.